Mark Googe is the Chief Technology Officer at the Military Health System and my guest. The first place that you go with this column that you've written for us at federalnewsradio.com, Mark, is flexibility. Why is that important when you're thinking about a mobile strategy, and what particular type of flexibility are you talking about?
Right. When we look at flexibility of platforms, right, as you kind of know, military is in a lot of places globally at all times. So we're looking at no-coms, low-com, or austere environments, in addition to the military treatment facilities that we treat our patients in the inpatient, outpatient areas. So really doing that, build it once and use it many times, that translates to a standards-based approach to that, such as some of the emerging standards that we have out there today, to allow us to really be to have that elasticity inside of our framework as we deliver applications to not only providers internally and patients, but to staff members or wherever they serve in the globe.
One of the challenges that people have told me about mobile technology, Mark, is understanding the possibilities rather than trying to choose from amongst a menu of items as we've done in the past. Mobile technology offers you the ability to do almost whatever you can think of, and so it's kind of a different mindset. Are you seeing that also in the military health system?
Yeah, I think the change in our technologies really open up the iris for the art of possibility. And we see that as a social change within the MHS as well. Like, could we do X in here and then there? I'm like, absolutely. So we can put the right data to the right person at the right time, do a standard approach to multiple platforms that can consume that data.
And that social change, I think, is the most interesting part. I mean, the technology is fun, and the fact that you can use a tablet to have a doctor doing rounds or whatever is neat. But I guess avoiding the shiny object syndrome is what I'm thinking about, and thinking about things more conceptually as you're talking about there.
Yeah, it's good for us. We have the framework around how we do business and business process, right? So we do a business process reengineering, which really takes the requirements, translates them to user stories and use cases that we can look at. Does technology need to be applied to this spectrum or not? And then really, what is the cost benefit out of that? So sometimes the juice isn't worth the squeeze in a certain condition. And so we do the measure twice, cut once, before we go into a lot of, further IT development on said business requirement.
Now, one of the examples that you give in the column that we have posted on federalnewsradio.com right now, Mark, is the National Center for Telehealth and Technology, you call it T2. Then they have applications, 10, you write, that are available on iTunes and Google Play. Do you expect to see more things like that that are put out in just for the general use of the people that you service, the people that you treat?
Yeah, I absolutely do, because people are people when it boils right down to it, whether they're in uniform or they're in civilian clothes, right? So the conditions that we see in the military apply to not only our veterans and our veteran services and our VA counterparts, but to Indian healthcare services and those conditions outside that we work with on a day-to-day basis that could be put into the iPad and the iTunes and the Google Play market for other people to look at that. We're not the only ones with post-traumatic stress disorder, stress management, and some of those other things on mood trackers that can really help the nation or the globe to address situations and then have a way to meaningfully exchange that data back to a healthcare provider or team.
Mark Googe is the Chief Technology Officer at the Military Health System. When you talk about interaction with other agencies, does mobile technology lend itself better, do you think, to that kind of exchange, sharing information, sharing technology, sharing concepts than the technology that we've used in the past?
Yeah, I absolutely think it is. I mean, right, when you package the data into the standard format for exchange and for, interoperability, semantic interoperability, packaging that through a mechanism which really almost everybody knows about mobile technology, the back-end exchanges, right? I don't have to lift as heavy to put that piece of data to a person I'm working with if I can exchange to their mobile platform from my data stores and vice versa. So I think it really lends itself to a lot of flexibility and fluidity in the exchanging of data and to work with other people as well.
One of the things that you write in this piece, you write, it's important to remember that we're dealing with very young technologies. What does that mean as far as planning strategies? I mean, I know that you and your colleagues at the Pentagon aren't planning 6 months from now and a year from now. You're trying to vision many years into the future. How do you do that with young technologies that may or may not have demonstrated their full potentials yet?
Right. And so we have what we call a standards forecast. So we look at standards that are and standards that are emerging. So we can look at really where the puck's going to figure out, is that standard in play or could it be in play if what we're doing, like wearable biomedical devices, so we can, you know, ascertain a patient's heart rate, respiratory, simply by having them walk through or by a sensor to really gain more valuable information from them. So it's just one example of what we look at when we talk about future technologies, wearable, implantable. We see some implantable biomedical devices today.
How do you think about that, though, and try to strategize for that when you're thinking about mundane things like acquisition strategies and infrastructure design and those kinds of things?
Yeah, you have to pull those variables together to really look at the strategies about how you could accommodate that requirement in the future state. And some of them are very high level and conceptual, but from a conceptual, you can start storyboarding that down to real tangible evidence to really start going as you're tracking forward and as they develop more and you develop more in your case and your business practices to those technology standards that need to be met in order to engage.
One of the things that I've noticed over the last, especially the last 6 months, is we're starting to see, we saw consolidation, it seems, for a while of mobile technologies where people pretty much lined up between two primary OSs, Apple and Google, and the devices became less important. It seems like we're starting to maybe see a splintering again, and not just on OSs, but just kind of in a number of different ways. And I wonder what you're thinking about and trying to plan for as far as device agnosticism goes to make sure that whatever, wherever the technology goes, you're going to be able to accommodate the desires and needs of the people that use it.
Yeah, so one of the big ones is just like the evolution of the web, right? So it doesn't matter what vehicle you had to go to the web, you had a standard way to get to it, right? HTTP, right? So port 80. So we look at the same thing with there, so we can really take out the machine that runs, you know, whether it's an Android, iPad, or what have you, to look at what's the protocol that delivers that to. And is there a standard across there? So we can look at, you know, X protocol accommodates 20 of these platforms, right? Maybe that's good enough for us as 80%. Solution they can put in our portfolio in which to deliver information to that, and then look at the 20%. So we really try to do that, like the emerging ones of what is industry doing for the delivery capability, the matching that delivery capability up to what we would like to do for our payload and our data out to those customers.
One more thought, Mark. You address security in this piece as well, and you have obviously different security requirements than a private sector company or even some other federal agencies because of the nature of the data that you're dealing with and the nature of the clients, people, customers that you treat. Talk about security and what that means as far as meeting expectations. I imagine there are cases where you're not able to meet the expectations of your customers in the way that they would like.
Yeah, right. And you're right about that. Department of Defense does have some elevated security controls in which to protect and then transport that information in a secure manner. And we really do that security first, right? So what if in that scenario of what happens if we do have data leakage? What happens if that device gets into the wrong hands? You know, how would we do the remote wipe? So we kind of plan that ahead of time before we look at a lot of actions and activities is the first, you know, do no harm and ensure that we're protecting that device and that information entrusted to our care to said customers. And some of those devices have not made the standards compliance to be put onto a warfighting network. The Department of Defense, the GIG, is a warfighting network. So we get a lot of direction from not only the National Standards Institute of Standards and Technology, but from the DoD CIO's direction about what devices are applied to our space that are authorized for us to use. And really that's our kind of a doctrine that we follow is that delivery first onto the GIG, and then can we use those devices? And then what standards can we do to deliver data from the MHS specifically to those areas and those devices?
If we have this conversation again, say, a year or 2 years from now, Mark, what do you think will be the landmarks that you'll look back on and say, we accomplished this and we accomplished this, and it made a really big deal, made a big difference for the people that we serve?
Well, I would say from not only the social or the social reengineering, but from the freeing the data, from big monolithic systems to the lightweight delivery mechanisms in which we can make faster, capabilities or applications to market, and we'll have more enriched data in which to have information and exchanges between not only our internal patients but our external patients and our external partners, in which to really drive down, you know, probably cost that we look at from not having the data to make informed decisions to patient out care, patient outcomes and care, to a lot more hopefully richer interactions with our provider and our healthcare teams with our patients that are entrusted to our care.